Annie Leonard grew up in Seattle, Washington, spending her summers in the forests of the Cascade Mountains. Her school promoted environmental issues, so it's no wonder she wanted to be a public lands and forest activist.
I was deeply concerned about the increasing number of clear cuts that I saw, and it wasn't until I went to college in New York City that I became obsessed with garbage.
Walking to class at Barnard College, it was hard not to notice the shoulder-high piles of garbage bags stacked along the city streets. Wondering what was inside, Leonard started what was to become a lifelong habit. She opened a garbage bag. Nearly half the trash inside was paper. Suddenly, she made the connection to the clear-cut areas of her beloved Northwest forests where the trees had been cut down for lumber and pulp. Her next stop was New York City's 890-hectare landfill to see what else was being thrown away. She found mounds of appliances, shoes, clothing, electronics, books, and food packaging as far as she could see.
And I was really struck by both the scale of it. How could we have created a society that is based on and dependent on so much destruction of resources, but also the secrecy of it? How could I have gone all the way until I was nearly 20 before I had ever been to a dump? And so one of the things that I encourage people to do is look in the garbage cans and see what's in there and go to the dumps. You know, I think it should be required in this country. I think you should have to go to a dump before you get your first credit card.
That visit to the dump changed Leonard's life. For her senior undergraduate project, she wrote a paper explaining why New York City should not burn garbage in municipal incinerators, suggesting alternatives for disposal. At Cornell University Graduate School, she studied city and regional planning with a focus on garbage. Leonard spent the next 10 years with various environmental groups in Washington, lobbying for recycling programs and tougher regulations on trash disposal. But her success in Congress had an unexpected negative result in corporate boardrooms. To avoid the new laws, Leonard says, many companies started to ship their regular and hazardous waste overseas. So she moved to Geneva, Switzerland, to work on a global campaign to stop the export of waste from the richest countries to the poorest. Her job was to track the waste from the United States to where it ended up in Africa, Latin America, and East and South Asia.
I went to Bangladesh, for example, to interview farmers who had taken fertilizer that was contaminated with our hazardous waste and spread it on their farms. I went to South Africa under apartheid, where the United States companies here were sending very toxic mercury waste that was dumped in a black township there where the people were not able to leave and had to use the water that had become contaminated for drinking and bathing and some cooking.
Leonard's 10 years as an investigator took her to dumps, mines, factories, and sweatshops in 40 countries. She learned about the life cycle of every manufactured product she could, from cell phones to toothbrushes, and concluded that the world needed to know that cycle too. Knowing how much of the world's trash comes from the United States, Leonard decided that the fight for a solution had to be centered there. So she settled in Berkeley, California, and started an educational campaign. She produced a 20-minute video for YouTube called The Story of Stuff. She figured if she got 50,000 views, it would be a success.
To my complete shock, I got 50,000 views in a day. We are now at over 10 million views from people in over 223 countries and territories, according to Google Analytics.
Leonard also received more than 100,000 emails asking for more specific information. That's when she decided to put it all in a book, also called The Story of Stuff.
It looks at what I call the materials economy, where our stuff comes from and where it goes. It looks in depth at the five different stages. Extraction, how we pull the stuff out of the earth. Extraction goes on to production, which is where we mix all these resources with toxic chemicals and use lots of energy and water and make products. Distribution, how these products are shipped all over the world. Then consumption, it's when we buy the stuff and bring it home and use it. And then disposal, and when we throw it out, which is sometimes just moments later after we purchased it.
Annie Leonard has been accused of being anti-capitalist and anti-stuff, but insists that actually she is pro-stuff, although she admits most of her possessions are secondhand.
I want us to appreciate and value and have reverence for our stuff more. I want us to look at something, whether it's an electronic gadget or a piece of furniture or a piece of clothing, and think about the effort and the energy and the materials and the work that went into making that thing.
As she travels around the country speaking at colleges, conferences, and houses of worship, the 45-year-old activist is often asked how she can maintain a hopeful outlook, knowing what happens to all our stuff. She says it's because she is convinced that the toxic trash situation doesn't have to be as dire as it is now. She points to emerging science fields such as biomimicry, where industries imitate nature to design more sustainable and healthier products. She also touts the burgeoning green chemistry movement, which tries to minimize the use and generation of toxic materials. But mostly, she says, she's hopeful that growing public awareness and desire for a new approach will bring about the changes she'd like to see. For VOA News, I'm Jan Sluzer in San Francisco.